To the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. No, Congressman Gary Palmer, we just reached out to him over the break. He has to go vote, but he said to join us just as soon as he gets that done. And you get to see live radio in action here as I answer the phone and continue to do a live broadcast. So that sounds very, very exciting. But that gives me a little time to catch up on a few texts here. Let's see. First off, a named texter, Damn Yankee. Larry the Cable Guy would be a good choice for governor in Ricky's Alabama. I think it would be a good choice for governor in Jeff Poor's Alabama, to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind seeing that. John writes, when it comes to Ricky, do like the Mantle Feinbaum says, don't take those calls. Well, somebody's taking those calls, usually not to me. Let's see, unnamed texter, Ricky wants Roy Moore to run in the state. And then Pete writes, Bradley Byrd would make a good governor, by the way. Tubin, not very high on Jeffrey Tubin. Jeffrey Tubin, obviously, if you don't know about Jeffrey Tubin, all you got to do is do a quick Google search, and I'm quite certain you could be educated on Tubin. And let's see here. I saw this news report. Governor Ivey has raised $1.2 million in her reelection bid, so that's going to be a that's going to be a tough, that's going to be a juggernaut right there if you really are going to run against Governor Ivey. And then obviously we're keeping an eye on the Supreme Court Voting Rights Act ruling. And finally, right now underway on Capitol Hill, Liz Cheney named to Nancy Pelosi's January 6th Select Committee. So all that and more, keep an eye on. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. He represents the 6th Congressional District in Alabama. Glad he could make time for us. Congressman Gary Palmer on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for rushing to get on the air. I know those votes can be kind of hectic. I just real quick, the January 6th Select Committee, I'm sure you've been watching it. Is this going to be another one of those kind of theatrical moments we get to watch in American politics?
Absolutely, and I think I'm concerned that Speaker Pelosi is trying to cover her own culpability in this, because we know that the Capitol Police takes its direction from the Speaker, and there's just a lot of things that we think that they knew that didn't get acted on, and some of us suspect that they weren't allowed to act on it. So I think this is just a distraction. We've already got some reports out from the Senate. We appropriated $10 million for the architect of the Capitol to enhance the security here. This is nothing but, in my opinion, a political effort on her part. That's it.
Do we ever get to, and I don't know that Republicans will want to belabor this when they're in charge, but will we ever get to figure out really her role in, was there a stand down order, or, you know, there's kind of a chilling effect going on in our policing right now with these protests, and then maybe these police officers didn't want a confrontation. I don't know, whatever it could be, but do you ever think we'll actually get to the bottom of January 6th?
I don't know if we'll totally get to the bottom of it, because I think there are other actors involved that might be a little bit harder to trace down. But even being able to determine if there were other actors involved, it will require an unbiased investigation. And I think I can't say what we will do when we get the majority back, but I think there are a number of members that would want to to bring some people in who we don't think have been able to speak, to talk about what really happened. And I think we get the majority back that there may be an opportunity to hear from those people.
Congressman, do you ever think, what about the law enforcement arm that's supposed to investigate this, Department of Justice or any of these agencies around Washington, D.C., this alphabet soup? How confident do you feel that they will do a job that isn't, you know, biased or politically biased, I should say?
Jeff, you know, I have to answer that again. We're in our next vote, and I was trying to see where we were so I know whether or not I can continue this.
Well, just that again. Real quick, how much confidence do you have in any of the law enforcement agencies, the alphabet soup of Washington, D.C., to investigate this and not be politically biased?
Depends on who's doing it. But right now, I have very little confidence in the upper echelon of the FBI. I mean, we went through this with the shooting on the baseball field and them trying to classify this as the shooter committing suicide by cop, when in fact it should have been classified immediately as, at a minimum, domestic terrorism, if not political violence, politically motivated violence. And I could go on and on about how mishandled all that was. And finally, through the efforts of Congressman Brad Winthrop and some of the rest of us, Director Ray finally had it reclassified to domestic terrorism. I have great, great concern about what's happened within various branches of government and how those branches have become politicized. And so I don't have a lot of confidence in that. I have more confidence in our ability to hold hearings and bring people in under oath, maybe even with subpoenas, to subpoena documents and evidence and that sort of thing. But we don't have prosecutorial power. All we can do is hold the hearings, develop the findings, and present them to the Justice Department. But there's one other thing that we can do is we can go public with it. And but I don't have a lot of confidence that, particularly with the Democrat majority, that we're going to get to the bottom of what actually happened and why it happened. And that's the real question is, how did, with the intelligence that they had, how did they allow this to happen?
Hey, Congressman, if you got to go vote, Phil, you know, just let us know.
I do.
Okay. Well, can you, and real quick, a question about infrastructure. This is what I wanted to get you on. The infrastructure plan that's being talked about by the Biden administration. They put out some paperwork just now about Alabama and what, but it looks like a lot of you know, the reframing of what the definition of infrastructure is. Just real quick, address that if you would.
It's just a leftist agenda. There's no funding for new roads, Jeff. You know, they keep talking about all these issues with CO2 emissions and ozone and all this other stuff. But when you don't appropriate money to build new roads and new bridges, you're increasing emissions. There's a joint effort between University of Alabama and Texas A&M University where they're monitoring traffic in every major highway around 494 U.S. cities. And the data is gathered every 15 minutes. In terms of congestion, Birmingham ranks 56th or 57th. But in terms of excess fuel consumed because of the congestion, it's over 9 million gallons. That's Birmingham ranking 56th or 57th. I have not seen a report on the increase in emissions that, and what they want to do, there's an 800 and something percent increase in Amtrak funding. They want to force people into mass transit. That's not going to happen. And there's really no funding for rural communities. I mean, that's just flyover space to these people. And you're not going to have mass transit in rural areas. And on top of all this, a lot of stuff that they want to push through, I don't know if your listeners are aware of this, but once these projects are permitted to a private entity, to a private contractor, that private contractor then has the power of eminent domain. They're planning to completely replace the power grid with one unified grid, because it's the only way that they think they can make the renewable power a reality, is you have to have one consistent uniform grid. Not only will that cost trillions of dollars, but it's going to require building these transmission lines across wetlands, across wilderness areas, across areas that have sensitive habitat species. But it's also going to require them to build them across, through people's farms and maybe through their neighborhoods and through municipalities. This is a horrible bill, and I think it's a bait switch too. I think they'll pass this bill, but they won't move it until they can get the other, I don't know, $4, 5, 6 trillion that they want for these things that have that is basically their socialist dream.
Congressman, we'll let you go, leave it there, but thanks for making a quick moment for us this morning here on the program.
Well, sorry, but I don't control when they call votes.
I understand. It's such Coast Capitol Hill. Congressman Gary Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna hang out here for just a little bit longer here. 251-343-0106. You got just a little bit of paperwork here from the Biden administration. The bipartisan infrastructure framework will deliver for Alabama. The American Society of Civil Engineers gives Alabama a C- on its infrastructure report card here. I know them. It's probably accurate. It's passing, but it's barely livable. They go through talking about how the roads and bridges, 2,950 miles of highway in poor condition, how much the load has increased. Talking about, you know, ladies and gentlemen, hold on, climate change and extreme weather events. I guess over the last 10 years, according to this, these talking points from the Biden administration, 38 extreme weather events. Clean drinking water, apart one of the bullet points. High-speed internet. We talk a lot about rural internet in this state. And then power infrastructure. So we're going to smart grid it, I guess. And then that is your infrastructure plan, the federal infrastructure plan, as it applies to Alabama. So a little bit of roads and bridges and a handful of big ticket items, but a C minus according to the American Society of Civil Engineers for engineering in the state. But we thank Congressman Palmer for making time for us, and we'll try to get him on again soon when there's not quite the chaotic situation up on Capitol Hill. Speaking of up on Capitol Hill right now, Nancy Pelosi taking questions about the January 6th Select Committee, and among those, Liz Cheney is going to be appointed to that committee by Pelosi. So feel great about that. It will be a bipartisan effort because Liz Cheney now is the acceptable Republican. We have a little bit of breaking news. Ricky is endorsing Dean Odle for governor. Dean Odle is a pastor at Opelika. I've seen him a little bit about him. I don't know much about him, but he is the only other formally declared candidate for a governor. John writes, one day of Roy Moore governor, I would rather make KIV the queen. And then finally, one more text message here from an unnamed texter. Says, if they really wanted to know what happened at the Capitol, why did they vote no? Republicans say one thing but do another. Because if you voted yes, you give the Democrats the power, and then they were going to have the power anyway. But you give Democrats the power to take the terms of the whole investigation. Do you think that's going to be fair? I mean, this is what I talk about, this intellectual dishonesty that we had to deal with From the left. Republicans, they vote against the January 6th commission, so they therefore they must be pro-rioting. Is that, I mean, do you think that is a convincing argument to anybody? But, I mean, it's pretty clear the direction and the tone would be set by the Democrats, and the Democrats have been using this as a political ploy for some time now. Why would Republicans give that to the Democrats? They would have to oppose it. Anyway, the January 6th commission or committee or whatever, select committee, I hope the Republicans, I hope they either boycott it or they call like a Marjorie Taylor Greene to be on it. Wouldn't that be great? Let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.